Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League now. Welcome. This is Triple M Footy. Right
now. And it's lovely. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Less than an hour till kickoff here at Belmore Oval. The Bulldogs and the Titans right now in New South Wales Cup. The Panthers 12 lead the Bulldogs 10, 18 minutes to go in that game. I am joined by Wendell Saylor, James Hooper and Ryan Girdler. Anthony Maroon will be your caller from 3 o'clock and Peter Sterling will join us.
Did you say Peter Sterling?
Yeah, Peter Sterling.
It's his birthday today, Tone. Did you wish him happy birthday?
Hey.
Not yet. I haven't seen him. When he walks in, I will wish him
happy. I'm sure he's listening because he's on the way down. Right. So happy birthday.
Latrell Mitchell's birthday today as well, 21st birthday. So happy birthday to Latrell. Yeah, 21 today.
My birthday next week. And my beautiful wife, Kate, look, she's like, I love her dearly. So she's organised. She tells me this morning that we're going out for dinner. I said, dinner?
When?
Tonight.
Next week?
No.
But your birthday's next week.
Yes, yeah. I know. There's things that clash, so okay. We can't do that next week. So she's organised this.
The
tonight.
Where are you going?
It's not where I'm going. Where I'm not going, on the couch to watch what's happening in the world of sport. I
what?
Said, best birthday present, just give me the remote control and and a couch spot, and I'm
Tony,
happy.
You're going out for, I mean, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, you couldn't watch the Top of the Table Clash.
Yes.
Because you went to your daughter's place, who doesn't own
TV.
And tonight you found another excuse to go out and miss a great sporting event.
Oh,
I'm not looking.
Australia's opening game in the World Cup.
Cricket, of course.
Where are we off?
Oh, the cricket.
He'll
be watching
tonight.
The cricket.
Huh?
He's so watching much. The cricket. You won't watch the cricket tonight, Wendell, will you?
No, not at the moment. No.
What will you watch?
I will watch the soccer. Yeah.
Oh,
he's
an ambassador.
He's an ambassador.
He's of course.
Of course.
Oh,
he will be.
Cha-ching. You'll be watching the soccer. No, you wouldn't have a look at the Broncos up against Cronulla.
I'll be watching a bit of that too. Okay.
Well, you'd just be flipping, will you?
Yeah,
hang on, are we watching TV, Tony?
Actually, I've got the in-laws here too, so, you know, I've got to try and talk to them as well.
Oh, how do you get a lot of in-laws?
You've got
to try and
rights.
Talk to them. Are you, like, are you friendly?
No,
they're
great. They're they're North Queensland people, Cowboy supporters, so sitting there with the father on last night. Right. He was absolutely devastated the way they're playing. Yeah, no, I'm probably not his favourite son-in-law, but anyway. But we'll get
Has
that.
He got other son-in-laws?
Yeah, 100% he has. He's got a couple.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Where do you rank then? What have you done that
I'm all right now. I think I've been a bit of some rough seas here, but he does like me, I can tell.
You're a big personality, Wendell. Yeah. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, that's true. As a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, Friday night footy, the Roosters over the Panthers, 32-6, an impressive performance from the boys from Bondi Junction. And as you mentioned, Dell, the Cowboys did go down to the Warriors, 23 points to 16. I know that Paul Green had mentioned that, you know, while we're still thinking about finals footy, well, that certainly, I would imagine, is well and truly out of play. But as I look at that EWFW ladder, they are well towards the bottom. Thursday night footy, a team that it continues to impress, and has, I think it's the seventh win in a row for South Sydney over the Eels, 42 points to 24. Right now, though, it is time for this.
What does the fox say?
Foxy. Yeah, give me Fox. Give it to me. I love your work.
Yes.
Bring it, Foxy.
What's his boy? Foxy, thanks to Mungrel Boots.
Tone, can we video
his dancing moves?
That's an HR
intro
issue.
That goes around that one day.
Really
let's put
is.
It up there on Twitter and just let people
is
know.
Is that HR issue,
exactly.
Reckon?
No, it doesn't worry.
But it's very amusing.
If it goes on video, it's an HR issue.
Could be problematic. Now, a lot going on at the moment, Tone. And look, one of the big stories of the week was Robbie Farron, the fact that he could be headed back to the West Tigers. From what I've heard over the last couple of hours, looks as though that is definitely going to happen. So Robbie Farrar, he'll be back for that game. They play the Gold Coast Titans at Leichhardt Oval, which is a big, big play for the West Tigers to bring one of their favourite sons back.
Are they still paying him, by the way?
No, I think that finished last year. They paid him something like $750 last year to go to the Bunnies play for Souths. Only cost Souths a couple of
hundred. That would have made sense. I imagine that if they could have already paying him, so they bring him back for nothing.
Outstanding. Brilliant.
That's good business. Or if he comes back and he's now being paid by South Sydney.
Yes,
it's even
better.
Creative accounting at its best.
Oh, you got
it. Look, it's funny, the way that this actually grew legs was through a couple of the Tigers' old favourite sons in Robbie Farah and Benji Marshall. Mm-hmm. So Benji and Robbie were the ones who initially had a conversation about just to sound Robbie out and see if he'd be interested in a return back to the club where he won a premiership in 2005. And then from there it grew legs and he's had a meeting with Ivan Cleary. And now it looks as though it's a really, really good chance of happening. So big news for the West Tigers. And I don't know if I'm Souths. That's a really that's a very open-minded decision from the Bunnies to let him go. Like
because he's been impressive in the couple of times they've called on him, and who knows, you know, the injury
would be
a great addition.
He's so good in terms of your bigger picture squad.
Yeah, and even for Robbie, like he's a bloke. He knows he can play first grade, even playing in reserve grade, sort of every week. You know, sort of he's been quite good that way in Glanto.
Well, he hasn't kicked stones. No, he hasn't carried on. It's shown that you know he's prepared to put the shoulder down and work a little bit harder and eat a little bit of humble pie and all those sorts of things. So,
and Damien Cook has credited him with a lot in terms of his experience and talking to him about the role of hooker. So, yeah, he's done a great job there, no doubt about it.
He has, absolutely. And then, look, this other story that surprises me at the moment, fellas, is Jared Wairea Hargraves. On the back of one of the best games we've seen him play, 80-minute performance for the Roosters, up against one of the form forward packs of the competition in the Panthers last night, somehow he's going to get snubbed from this New Zealand Kiwis team. I can't understand it. Given the retirements of Russell Packer, representative retirement of Russell Packer, representative retirement of Ben Matalino, Simon Mannering, even though he doesn't play in the front row, also announced this week that he won't be featuring for the Kiwis in this test match over in Denver. Yeah. It really surprises me that JWH is going to be overlooked.
Who's the coach?
Michael Maguire.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Michael Maguire should know, I know better than anyone. Yep. You need those hardheads there.
Absolutely. But I was thinking maybe it was. Is there a hang-up? David Kidwell, obviously, there was some kind of issue, but it's gone back a little while, hasn't it, with Jared Wairea Hargraves? I don't know why his papers have been marked, because as you say, that performance last night was terrific, exactly what you'd expect they'd want.
Well, perhaps if Madge goes and has another look at the tape, perhaps he might have an 11th hour change of heart. Maybe we do see Jared in the squad. But as it sits at the moment, the Kiwi team that'll be announced tomorrow, somehow JWH isn't in there.
And is the Fox going to Denver?
Yes, I am going over to Denver, Tony. Yes, yeah, the good people who are putting the game on have kindly offered to take us over. And I think I'm actually going to be doing a little bit of the sideline work over there as well. Because the game's on Fox Sports, 6 a.m. Sunday, next Sunday.
So who's us?
Sunday week. So I'm going over Wendell. Yeah, Brenton Speed's going over to call the game. And one of your old teammates, Jamie Soward.
Oh, my goodness.
I think
goodness.
He's going over.
He's everywhere. Jamie's everywhere. Soward, good on him.
He's going over as well. To help with the commentary. So, look, it's something a little bit different. Shame it's on at the same time as State of Origin, but the international game, we've seen many of the big-name players, Sam Burgess, James Graham, they want the international game to be recognised and celebrated as one of the pinnacles of the game.
Are you like the Dragons are sending their high-performance guy with James Graham and Gareth Widdop so they come back in tip-top condition? Is Fox Sports sending their high-performance
guy? I've got a binder.
Just for the plane trip back, that, you know, you make sure you go through all the proper processes so you're good to go on screen as soon as you get home?
Yep. Now I've got a minder coming over, Tone, so they'll make sure that they keep us in check on the plane trip over and on the plane trip home.
Are you going to miss the kids?
We're on the ground in Denver.
bit of boot scooting over there.
We'll make sure, we might have a crack,
All right, plenty to come. Sterlo will join us very shortly. Yep. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. That was what the Fox says for Mongrel Boot. As we speak in the New South Wales Cup, the Bulldogs 16, the Panthers 18, 7 minutes to go in that game. James Hooper, any news on the lineups for this afternoon's game?
There's 1,000 changes for the Bulldogs, Tone. So Brett Morris is out, unfortunately. That means Tyron Smith's son, Remus Smith, will get a start on the wing. Aidan Tolman comes into the starting pack for David Clemmer. We've seen Dean Payne do this a lot recently. He likes to split Aaron Woods and David Clemmer up in terms of their stints. So Aidan Tolman will start, David Clemmer back to the bench. And then Greg Eastwood comes onto the interchange bench as the fourth reserve. Right. Those changes, of course, Tone, are for...
For the Bulldogs.
Okay. Well done.
For the Bulldogs.
As it turns out. All right, I think the Titans are 1-7, 17. We're back shortly with Sterlo. And we're at Belmore Oval. The Titans taking on the Doggies, and it's a great thrill to welcome the birthday boy himself, Peter Sterling. Day. Sterlo, happy birthday.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and listeners, thank you very much. What'd you get me?
Well, I got the opportunity to spend half an hour with me in the commentary box.
Well, that's good. I like to start at the bottom and work my way up during the course of the day.
Exactly. How are you feeling? You're looking forward to an evening and an afternoon of sport? We were talking earlier about being at Belmore Oval and three games on, so the two preliminary games before we get to the main event. It's great, isn't it?
It's wonderful. I find it a real nostalgia trip coming to Belmore because I never particularly liked playing here, but it was my home ground for four seasons, and we had a lot of success. Although from memory, I don't think we ever came out of the home dressing shed here. So, because the Bulldogs hated us being here. We didn't like being here, but so it was just kind of this uneasy truce between us until obviously
this is while Parramatta Stadium
was being built. Yeah, yes. But it's nice to come back here. We don't come back often, so it's always a little bit special when we do.
I saw during the week Andrew Webster and the Herald had a tour of the new Parramatta Stadium site, saying the steepness of the seats is the most of any in the country, even steeper than Suncorp. Looks amazing.
Okay, well, the money they're spending and their time doing it, they need to get everything right. So, you know, I thought the old Parramatta Stadium was pretty good as well. But, the upgrade will be something special for the supporters who are going through some tough times at the moment. So that is something certainly to look forward to. I walked in here today and actually walked through the gate with Steve Mortimer, which was nice.
Turkey.
He's got a big nose, hasn't he? Never noticed that before. Gee, take some pressure off there. Wow. I had a great man. Great man. And lovely to catch up with him. And Hazamel Masri halfway up the stairs as well. So a couple of legends on the way in.
Geez, you must have got stopped a lot on the way in, Pete. That's what a brilliant opportunity from all the duels that you've had out here and over the years with Turvey in the number 7 jumper.
Yeah, we got quite a few photos taken. The parents knew. The kids who were getting the photos, hadn't they looked at us? No idea who we were. It was great to catch up. And he's a really good mate, Turvey. We were fierce competitors, but you would not meet a nicer man, and you will not meet a more passionate rugby league man.
The Bulldogs at that time, they were a very, very tough outfit. Did he have a lot of mongrel in him as a player?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. He didn't need it.
No.
He had six blokes in front of him.
Plenty of mongrel?
He had
security.
Him in the whole back line. The bloke who really had that streak in him was his brother, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, he was as hard as, Gerds probably knows it better than anybody, but going back to the Penrith days when he had the cast on coming into a finals game and the doctor didn't want to take it off, so he got the screwdriver out and took it off himself and went out and play. Yeah, he was a hard nut. Look, Turvey was blinding speed, great cover defender and that, but he was tough as well. You know, you don't play as many games as he did without having the necessary toughness, and he and his brother Peter did as well, but Chris had that streak in him that was, you never liked looking across the other side and seeing him lining you up.
What about the real hard nuts in that Bulldogs, Dogs of War pack, Pete? Was it Peter Tunks? Was it Steve Folks? Was it Cement Gillespie?
I think a combination of all. I think David Gillespie was always, he hit better than anybody, but so did Lang Mack and Folks. You know, that those three as a back row, like there was just no respite from them. They came in and they drove with their shoulders. They drove with fiberglass shoulder
the
pads.
The hottest
pads. So you couldn't see their ears, the fiberglass shoulder pads going up that high. But Peter Kelly was, Billy Johnson was, he was a boxing champion. Yeah. And they had blokes like Brian Batiste, coming off the bench. They were the real Dogs of War. And they based a really strong game around that. But their back line, it was always strange back in those days. I don't want to go back too long and too often. But, Parramatta always had we had this brilliant back line and our forwards were okay. Our forwards were very, very good. Mm. And the Bulldogs, their forward pack was outstanding. But their back line was really, it was great as well. So I just thought they were two really well-balanced football teams.
Just want to run you through a bit of what's gone on so far this weekend, Sturlo, because for both Kevi Walters and Brad Fittler, it's slightly concerning. And it's always a tough time, isn't it, when you're leading into picking a side for State of Origin and hoping there's going to be no injuries. Suddenly, there are masses of injuries. Dylan Napa, we know. Michael Morgan is on the Queensland side. Billy Slater isn't going to play for Melbourne, but says we'll be right. Matt Scott wasn't selected, so there's still concern about him, whether he was to be get a comeback. And, of course, Regan Campbell-Gillard with the break to the jaw. Latrell Mitchell, we saw him go off, but apparently is okay. James Maloney limping a little. What have you made of it all?
Well, it was very interesting listening to Danny Badiris talk to you guys earlier, saying that, you know, they have depth charts in regards to each position, and, you know, you've got to have that, you know. Brad Fittler has always said the best piece of advice he ever got going into this Origin campaign was from Phil Gould, saying don't pick your team, you know, basically until you know who's fit and healthy. So these are setbacks. Obviously, the two we know who won't be there, basically Regan Campbell-Gillard and I would imagine Dylan Napa. For Campbell-Gillard, I suspect that they'll push Trbojevic into the run-on side and play Jack DeBellin, Trbojevic alongside Clemmer in the middle there, and bring Tarek Sims onto the bench. Obviously, if they're looking for that bigger body, then Ryan James comes right into the mix, and I'm intrigued by watching his performance out here this afternoon up again. It is perfect timing for him, really, isn't it?
Yep.
To come up against Clemmer and Woods on the back of a really good performance last week. You know, scored two tries. In fact, I looked through the record books, and it is right. He, in the history of our game, he holds the record for most tries for a front rower in the season. He got 12 in 2016. So he's a try scorer.
Yeah.
And so is Paul Vaughan. So it kind of follows that mentality as well. But I've got a feeling Trbojevic will start. So too DeBell and Clemmer. When it comes to Dylan Napa, well, you know, we're not going to pick Queensland's teams for them, but I think Tim Glasby was always going to come right into the reckoning. And, you know, I haven't ruled out a guy like Joe Offahengawi doing maybe a little bit of a bolter coming in. You know, I think there's a couple of players in that forward pack for Queensland are under a lot of pressure. You know, I don't think we've seen the best of Cohen Hess for quite a while. Gavin Cooper played the full 80 in Origin 1. You know, he's dependable, but if they're looking for something different or else, or you know, there's a couple of choices to be made there by Kevin Walters. Latrell Mitchell is obviously the intriguing one, because that, thank goodness, it's not as nasty as what it could have been, but it still looked like he was in so much discomfort, and with the short turnaround, I guess you and Aitken comes in contention then, but then you've got Aitken and James Roberts, who are both right centres, so you're prepared to play one of them on the left. So it's just good fun, isn't it?
I think they'd be more inclined maybe to move Peachy straight to left centre. He does
possibly,
that for the club, and then that opens up a position for maybe Keary, who's in great form at the moment, to come on and take that utility role. He could play nine at a pinch, I would imagine, and I think Freddie just sort of wants to get him into the environment. You know, a great New South Welshman, that Keary, so it'd be nice to get one back on those Queenslanders anyway, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Little Ipswich boy playing in the blue jersey. I love it.
I do. Michael Morgan, he's gone. What are your thoughts? Are they going to go with Callan? Obviously, Billy Slater is the wild card. He's not playing, but we imagine he will play in Origin.
It's really interesting. I went into the Queensland sheds after Origin 1 that night, and Billy was sitting in there, obviously, and he was particularly unconfident about his body, like what was to come. I got the impression, and I'm not putting words in his mouth or anything, I got the impression leaving the sheds that there was a doubt with him in regards to Origin 2, even back at that stage.
Yep.
Now, he hasn't played club football since then. And we actually had him on our panel up in Townsville, would be 3 weeks ago, I suppose, when Melbourne played North Queensland up there. And he said to me that afternoon, he said that he trained all through the week and he just pulled up a little bit tight and could have played that night, he felt. So it's really turned around in regards to, you know, the new injury or the extended, whatever it is, the tear that's there. It's put a fair bit of doubt in his mind. And the fact that he's not playing this weekend probably just adds to that. I hope he runs out there. I hope he's 100% fit, because Origin is the best spectacle we have. I know it hurts New South Wales' chances of winning, but we want our best players out there. And if New South Wales are to win, we want to beat their best players as well. But I walked out surprised on Origin one night that he wasn't more optimistic about his body and the coming weeks.
I think the thing is, Stella, he's had issues with his shoulder. We've seen him have a couple of reconstructions. He's broken his collarbone playing for Australia. He hasn't had a hamstring injury previously, and it is a tear. So from what I've heard out of the Melbourne Storm camp, they've been trying to push it and get as much work into it as possible, but then when he's gone into that Queensland camp leading into game one, he's done exactly that, but pushed it that step too far. And so at 34, it's a real balancing act. And I'm with you. I think there's a big question mark over whether Billy can play in State of Origin 2.
How long do they give him, though, Pete? I mean, if you've got a young guy, it's not like you can just put Morgan back there who's got experience. You need to give Ponga the right amount of time preparation-wise. So how long do you give Billy?
Well, that's another
big quandary. Decisions, aren't they? They really are.
I don't know who's with you and I should be talking about hamstring problems, because I was never quick enough. I doubt that you were ever quick enough to have one as well. But they are notoriously difficult, apparently. I did a charity function yesterday up in Newcastle, alongside, there was Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Nathan Ross, and Kalyn Ponga was there. I don't think I've ever come across such a well-adjusted, intelligent, articulate young superstar than this young Blake. Just talking to him one-on-one was fantastic. And then to hear him up on stage answering questions, like if ever there was any doubt about something put in front of him as to whether he can handle it, it was just dispelled immediately. Now, we know what he can do and what a wonderful talent he is, but as a young man, as an individual having his head screwed on, he is as good as I've seen.
Yeah, we asked the question of Danny Badiris earlier whether he was ready, and he said, you know, obviously his Newcastle connection, said he's absolutely ready to go.
He's one, and the way he talks about his family and the things that have been put in front of him, and how he did fall out of love with rugby league a little while back, but coming to Newcastle solved that for him. He's got a 7-year-old daughter who we obviously adore. Sister.
Oh, who we started early.
7-year-old daughter.
And so that, it's the whole package. You know, the family coming down. There was never any question about that being the case. And he's such an impressive young man.
I remember speaking to we had Danny Badiris on the show just after they made the signing as a Newcastle legend, you know. And it was, he said, look, Brownie asked me to just go and sit down with him and have some lunch with him, and because it was a big investment by the club financially, and I think in terms of just moving forward and building the club around this young guy. And he said, as soon as I had lunch with him, I went back and said, you know, the money's irrelevant. Yeah. These are the kind of people you want to have in your club. And that comes from a guy like Danny Badiris, who's held in the same sort of esteem. So he's a good investment. We got another one there in Nathan Cleary as well. Another guy. Isn't it good to see these young guys coming through that handle these situations so well? And I think the fact that they've got coaches at clubs too that don't necessarily protect them from all that, they're actually giving them the opportunity to go out there and learn and throwing them in the deep end to an extent, but only because they can handle it. And we're the ones that are benefiting, because, you know, Nathan Cleary, the rawness, his interview last night with Joey after the game was like, oh, I was in shock. You know, I just wanted to get off him as quick as I could. And the moments that Peachy and Latrell Mitchell shared in the sheds, these are all young men making their way in the game, and it's just
great
beautiful.
Great signs, aren't they?
Yeah. Really good players, good players, good people. The players here, the Bulldogs and the Titans, are out on Belmore warming up as we speak. We'll preview that game in a little while. Also talk South Sydney, how good are they? This is Saturday Triple M NRL. It's Saturday Triple M NRL Belmore Oval ahead of the Bulldogs taking on the Titans. Kickoff is at 3:00. Anthony Maroon will be your caller. Peter Sterling will be sitting alongside him. He's right here right now, as is James Hooper and Ryan Girdler. Hoops, I just noticed that there's more news about this game in Denver, which you, of course, will be attending. We already heard that Russell Packer is retired from representative football. Ben Madalino as well, Simon Mannering. Now, New Zealand Herald's reporting that Sean Johnson's out. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, second rower Tohu Harris, Jared Beal, they're all going to miss this combination of injuries and or whatever, so they're not going to be playing. That they're big gaps for the Kiwis, aren't they?
This was always a concern, Tony, was that were people going to go all in on it? All the English players decided that they were. They wanted a part of it, but clearly this statement from some of the New Zealand players, they haven't all bought in, and so they won't be representing their country over in Denver. I think the Kiwi halves are going to be very inexperienced. It's going to be Cody Nikorima and it's going to be Tamari Martin. And that's because Sean Johnson has decided to make this decision to rest his injury.
And we know you've bought into this, Hoops. Are you okay with being part of a junket?
I'm okay, Pete.
Right,
I'm fit and available for selection. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's still disappointed after he missed out on the horn fight, see?
I got asked a couple of months back and I thought, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I haven't been to Denver before, so yeah. get over to the States and have a bit of a look around. Tony said he was going to lend me his Stetson and a pair of his Cubans. Yeah. So,
is that where they film Dumb and Dumber? You'll fit right in.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
Oh,
Denver. Oh,
I didn't miss it.
Feel the love in the room, Stello. Oh, it's Saturday.
My kind of room, Tony.
I tell you what I got plenty of love for is South Sydney and the way they're playing at the moment. 7 on the trot. Haven't done that for quite some time. 2014, it may have been since they've notched up.
1994, seven, actually.
1994.
That's a lot earlier than 2014.
Absolutely. They, to me, obviously we know that the pack is huge and full of Burgi who are playing impressively. I watched the skills athleticism of Cody Walker the other night. He was just great. The whole team is at the moment firing.
They are indeed. I thought the halves were outstanding. In fact, hard to split them as to who was the most influential. That Adam Reynolds was outstanding, but just a couple of plays from Cody Walker. Said before the game that it's taken him a long time to find his way into first grade in the NRL. Like I guess he's, with his age, he's probably closer to the end of his career than he is the start of it.
Yep.
But boy, just to watch him play, there was a try set up there at one stage. He took the ball forward and he stepped at the line and he attracted 3, maybe 4 defenders.
Yep.
Actually came in, they were only interested in him. And then the pass went out in a wider pass and they scored down, unusually down the right-hand side on this occasion, because generally they were just running them in at will down the left-hand side against Parramatta. But I really enjoy watching those kind of players. He's just, his awareness and his instinct for the game is not something I think you can coach. You can coach a lot of things, but those kind of instincts for the game, I think you're born with them, and he certainly has been.
Hey, Pete, just going to the Titans game, what have you made of Ash Taylor's development? Have you seen enough over the past, I mean, probably 18 months to say that he's confidently going in the right direction?
I think he is good. I think it's been slow. I think, with all due respect, I think the club as a side have struggled in that period of time. I don't know whether they've been as consistent as a football team as what a halfback would like, and I know he adds to that consistency or contributes to that consistency, but I like what I, you know, he's quality. I wouldn't mind seeing a kilo or two off him, maybe, you know, but he plays away. He is great kicking game.
That said, pass me a pie, would you?
I've already had two,
mate.
Exactly. I think Brimson complements him well.
Yep.
I really like him. I think he's quality.
Right, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll come back.
I'll tell you what.
What
are you going to break for?
We've got to pay your exorbitant wage. We do that, we come back, and we look at this game, the Titans and the Bulldogs right here at Belmore Oval. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Belmore Sports Ground, that's where we are. Kickoff very shortly. The Bulldogs taking on the Titans. Peter Sterling, Ryan Gerler, James Hooper, Tony Squires with you. Anthony Maroon about to move in to call it all of the action for you. Before we get to who you think will win, Stiller, what do you make? Do you hope and dream that given the backflip that wasn't called a backflip by the NRL during the week about referees and how they will not nitpick after your little spray last week on this very show, what do you think?
I'm hoping and dreaming.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen. You know, I'm like everybody else. I think it's a spectacle. The game's been better. I know it's only 3 matches, but there are a couple of referees who I still struggle to watch.
Yep.
But I just think, I think it adds to our game, and I think that the players will appreciate the fact that the game is in play more often. I think as fans, we will enjoy the fatigue factor that's will come back into the game. And I hope that the point has been made in regards to, yes, we are seeing the players touch the ball with their foot, and if they do give away penalties on their own line, they will still be penalised. I'm happy with all of that. You know, that was where the crackdown was needed. I just think we went overboard elsewhere. And if the referees could have a feel to the game in regards to that, we'll see less penalties, but we'll certainly see a better game.
Yeah, we spoke to Garth Brennan a little bit earlier. We asked him to see if he could get Keegan Hipgrave to be sin bin 3 times today just to keep on that role.
Well, I like their chances this afternoon because I think there's a real chance I'll have the full complement out there for the 80 minutes. And if that's the case, the Gold Coast might just be able to get the job done. But we're about to see that. But, yeah, look, you know, I don't like the fact that our game is so reactive to things that we make changes on the back of. You know, if the crackdown was to take place, I would like to have thought that the hierarchy saw what was happening to our game in regards to the fans, and it wouldn't have had to have taken a lot of criticism for it to actually, you know, to precipitate that. But we do react to a lot of things, you know, even, you know, bringing penalties in for for various offences now halfway through a season. I struggle to get my head around that.
And don't you think, Pete, that after the first half a dozen rounds and we saw all these penalties and everyone was up in arms and we knew it wasn't good for the game, that they could have had a quiet word and basically said, hey, how about we just back off a little bit and we get to this point eventually anyway?
You just assumed that would happen, Gerds, but, you know, let's hope we get a good second half of the season and the better team wins, hopefully with the full complement on each occasion.
Yeah, well, they are both out there now, the Titans and the Bulldogs, in their final stage of warm-up before they head on to Belmore Sports Ground. Anthony Maroon will join us. Thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank you,
Triple M rocks the footy.